Hi, and welcome to this audio edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? With host Doris Hansen. On this program, we discuss polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism from a biblical Christian perspective. We talk about the history of polygamy, its modern-day fruit, share stories from people who have escaped polygamy, and talk about current events relating to polygamy. You can learn more about the video edition of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. And now, here's Doris.
Welcome to our show tonight. I'm your host, Doris Hansen, and What Love Is This? We thank you for inviting us into your homes tonight. I would like to start out by reminding our viewers about the benefit performance that the Adams Road Band is going to be doing for our ministry. It's going to be on September 9th, that's a Friday night, at 7 p.m., and it's going to be held at Mill Creek Church, and the address is 1515 East, 4500 South, in the Holiday area of Salt Lake City. Again, it begins at 7 p.m. Admission is totally free, but donations to our ministry will be accepted. Please come, bring your friends and your relatives and your neighbors. And the night before the benefit performance, Adams Road Band will again be our guests on our show, Polygamy, What Love Is This? They were on our show last year at this time, and it was a delightful time that we spent with them, so we've invited them back again. Also, I'd like to remind everybody that our monthly support group is next Monday night. That's August 29th at 6:30. And former members of any of the polygamy groups or polygamy situations are invited to come. We'd love to have you. You can email us tv@aboutpolygamy.com for details. We'd also like to remind you that one reason for our show is to accurately communicate to our polygamous viewers that God never commanded Joseph Smith to say that he commanded polygamy. It just didn't happen. The Mormon-based polygamy groups would almost fade into oblivion if the members of those groups would only study for themselves and discover God's true plan for marriage, and it isn't polygamy. Too many people are being led down the primrose path to a false salvation of polygamy for salvation introduced by Joseph Smith. And we encourage you, all of you, to research what you believe and why you believe it. After all, it's your eternity and no one else's that you need to be concerned with. Now, there is a group of polygamy groups, and they are called the Principal Rights Coalition. And these groups have grouped together to sign protests against the crimes of Warren Jeffs. Now, this isn't necessarily a bad thing. Warren Jeffs' crimes do need to be condemned. But there is extreme hypocrisy in their condemnation of him when they are doing the same things themselves. I want to read a portion of the Principal Rights Coalition statement, and we're going to put this up on your screen so you can see what we're going to be talking about. The Principal Rights Coalition statement against child sexual abuse, and it was written August 4th of 2011. And it says, as new evidence has surfaced in Texas detailing reprehensible acts of sexual abuse against children as young as 12 years old, we are alarmed that such depravity could have been perpetrated by anyone. While we understand the horrific abuse can occur in any part of society, it is especially devastating to discover that sexual assault of young children may have occurred behind the false pretense of a religious ideology. Those who commit such crimes must be held accountable. If any members of our communities are in fact guilty, we fully support their being brought to justice. We repeat our vigorous denunciation of all child abuse, sexual or otherwise, as an egregious violation of our faith. We grieve for the children whose lives and virtue have been so cruelly impacted. We pray for healing and safety for the victims and their families. Now, this statement was signed by the Principal Rights Coalition, which is a coalition of fundamentalist Mormon communities, including the Apostolic United Brethren, also known as the All Red Group or the AUB. signed by the Centennial Park, which is a breakoff from the FLDS Polygamy Group, signed by the Davis County Cooperative Society, which is the Kingston Polygamy Group, signed by the Nielsen-Naylor Community, which is a breakoff from the Centennial Park, which is a breakoff from the FLDS, signed by Principal Voices and also by numerous other independent fundamentalist Mormons. Now, this condemnation of Warren Jeffs' actions by prominent polygamy groups is a classic case of the pot calling the kettle black, of the monster twisting around to devour itself, beginning with its own tail. You know, I received an email after Warren Jeffs' conviction the first week in August from a previous member of the All Red Polygamy Group regarding some interesting thoughts about the Principal Rights Coalition statement. And I'm going to be quoting a portion of that email now, and then we'll be talking about it. And this is what it said, quote, "I know that you are constantly on air working to open people's eyes about the polygamy problem, and I wanted to share a couple of thoughts that I believe should be brought to the attention of the public. I have written to the Tribune about this and contacted Fox News, but with no results. As you are probably aware, the Principal Rights Coalition recently condemned Warren Jeffs. I don't know why no news groups have picked up on this yet, but as you may be aware, the Principal Rights Coalition membership includes the infamous and incestuous Kingston Polygamy Group of belt-whipping fame. Add to this the fact that the Principal Rights Coalition was holding talks in 2008 to include the FLDS in its coalition, also recorded in the Tribune. This makes the public denunciation appear somewhat hypocritical. Protests by squeaky clean AUB that they are shocked and horrified just don't entirely convince me in the light of this alliance. This coalition needs to be roasted for its hypocrisy," end quote. Well, her comments are right on. And 2 weeks ago, we did briefly roast them for issuing the public condemnation against the crimes of Warren Jeffs when they're guilty of it themselves. But in light of these comments from a former member, we're not only going to roast them again, we're going to crank up the temperature a little bit. And we're going to begin with the All Red Polygamy Group, known as the AUB, or the Apostolic United Brethren, the group of choice of Sister Wives fame. Now, the Apostolic United Brethren is a polygamy group that has various communities sprinkled all over the state of Utah. It has a community in Pinesdale, Montana, and other locations throughout the country. And it has approximately 7,500 members. They were found in court to have built a wealthy member out of more than $1.5 million, and the judge told them that they had to return the money. Also, three of their priesthood members were accused of child molestation themselves. One of them in 1994, another in 1998, and another one was sent to prison in 2002. Why wasn't there a coalition statement then condemning these child molesters? Don't kid yourself. These groups are pointing their collective fingers at everyone else and protecting their own. The Pinesdale, Montana community of the AUB is served by a newspaper, and it's called the Ravalli Republic. Portions of two letters to the editor in April of 2011 read like this. The first letter says in part, and I quote, "I am aware of so many different cases of sexual abuse and spouse abuse that have gone on in Pinesdale over the years. It makes my head spin. The lay members of the AUB group are completely dominated by their religious leaders who claim to be directly inspired by God. It makes the everyday person like me wonder what kind of inspiration happened that put three sexual abusers in top leadership positions in this religious group." Indeed, that's a fair question. And the second letter reads in part like this, quote, "I also grew up in Pinesdale and was a part of it for 30 years. There are a lot of good people in the community as well as my family whom I enjoy visiting. Having said that, there are a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing. You and I both know to prove such an allegation will never happen because of the closed society. People of these communities don't want the rest of the world to get involved. Second cousins of a certain man have been found guilty of abuse of their sisters, full and half, as well as nieces. There's a like situation that has gone on in Rocky Ridge, which is another AUB community in Utah. Nothing can be proved, though, and yet it's quietly talked about. Somebody has abused these kids, and they need to be rooted out. One of the respected members of the community had a wife who was sleeping with her son from a previous marriage. Surprise! She was the daughter of a former apostle who is now serving prison time for child molesting. It's a vicious circle that needs to be broken. To say it doesn't happen doesn't make it go away, end quote. Now, you can find out more by going to the website RavaliRepublic.com. It's a long website and probably too difficult to write it down if we put it up on the screen. But you can email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com. I'd be happy to send you the links to any of what we're talking about tonight. But you can go to RavaliRepublic.com and find this information. You know, polygamy groups defend these actions very frequently with the remark, well, this happens in all segments of society, and indeed it does. But that doesn't excuse their behavior. They think it does, but it doesn't. In fact, it only serves to prove that God is not the author of polygamy, a spiritual doctrine that is supposed to make people righteous, but instead is doing just the opposite. It attracts crime. It incubates child molesters. It produces sexual abuse and abusers. No doctrine from a holy God produces these types of crimes. God is not the author of polygamy. And we've said this before, and we'll say it now again. You will not find anywhere in the Bible an example of a modern-day polygamy group. Their doctrine, their behavior, their salvation dogma, it's not anywhere in the Bible, and yet they say that the Bible supports it, and it does not. Rebecca Kimball from the AUB, and who was on our show on July 7th, states the following. The AUB sent child brides out in every direction. My sisters Irene and Irma were 15 and 16 years old when they were married by AUB priesthood. Irma stayed in the AUB. Irene went into the LeBaron group, and I married into the FLDS at age 15. My birth certificate is a fraud. My sister Karen married at age 14 into the FLDS, and all of the above brides were born to Owen Allred's sisters. Owen Allred was the leader of the AUB until he died. My sister Norma married at 15 years old. Owen's daughter, my cousin, married at 14 years old. And L. Jessup's daughter married Dr. Rulon Allred at age 15. Now, Dr. Rulon Allred was also the leader of the group before Owen Allred. And they presume to display such self-righteous attitude by condemning Warren Jeffs. They're guilty of the same things. And don't forget that the Browns of Sister Wives fame, when they filed their lawsuit to decriminalize polygamy, their attorney said, and I quote, "The family seeks to live according to its deep-seated religious beliefs and faith." Well, they are part of the Allred Group, a deep-seated, abusive, polygamist organization that has a proven history of corruption. Now, we've never heard of any abuse having taken place in the Cody Brown family, and I don't want to give any impression of that whatsoever, but having made that clear, we do need to talk about their abuse of the system and bleeding the beast. The Browns have filed bankruptcy several times, and there's a question I'd like to ask Cody Brown. If you can't afford your families, don't you think you ought to back off a bit? You know, Cody and his first wife, Mary, filed bankruptcy in Wyoming, June of 2005. Christine Brown filed bankruptcy in Utah March 2010, and records show she was receiving food stamps in 2009 and 2010 while they were doing their sister wives' television show. Just another proof that taxpayers are subsidizing polygamy and their huge families. Janelle Brown filed for bankruptcy in Utah, October 1997. All this is public information, and I will forward to anyone in PDF format copies of the bankruptcy papers of each of these incidents. The aggregate amount of these bankruptcies amount to tens of thousands of dollars. They repeatedly claim religious faith as the reason for their lifestyles, always attempting to bring God into it. Well, if they're going to bring God into it, they need to bring Him in it all the way and stop treating Him like a buffet table and take what you like and discard the rest. For instance, God's requirement about providing for your own family. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." That doesn't mean to cheat the government into providing for your family. And this applies to polygamists, not just monogamists. Another signer of the Principal Rights Coalition document condemning Warren Jeffs and his abuse is the Davis County Cooperative Society, or the Kingston Group. The Kingston family has been said by state prosecutors to be worth over $150 million. There are many people who say that they are worth much, much more than that. Yet court testimony in a child abuse case, custody case, revealed that one of the Kingston patriarchs claimed he didn't have enough income to pay the monthly child support ordered by a judge for the children of one of his many wives. Another Kingston patriarch was convicted in 1999 of felony incest for taking his 16-year-old niece as his 15th wife. Daniel Kingston was found guilty of felony child abuse for whipping this 16-year-old daughter, for running away from her polygamous and incestuous marriage as a 15th wife of her uncle. This uncle was ultimately found guilty of incest and served prison time. In 2003, another man in the Kingston clan pleaded guilty to third-degree felony incest for engaging in an illegal sexual relationship with a minor female who is his cousin. An investigation by the Salt Lake Tribune in 1999 revealed several instances of Kingston leaders marrying half-sisters, first cousins, uncles, nieces, and aunts as part of their religious beliefs. In light of all this evidence, they dare to exhibit such hypocrisy by condemning Warren Jeffs? The only difference is Jeffs had a tape recorder. And their incestuous and polygamous marriages are now generational, which is termed inbreeding. If the children of half-siblings marry children of half-siblings, and their kids marry cousins whose parents are also from incest, what kind of a genetic time bomb is just waiting to happen? The Kingston Group has also been found guilty of food stamp and welfare fraud, or bleeding the beast, as the saying goes. One teenage bride said in an interview, and we'll put this up on the screen, and this is what she said, quote, "Teenage brides from fundamentalist Mormon homes are often told, as she was, this is what the Heavenly Father wants, and they're at an age they can't run away because there is nowhere to go. There's no way out." Polygamy groups threaten their females with God's decree that polygamy is the only way to heaven. And that started with Joseph Smith when in Doctrine and Covenants 132, verse 54, Joseph Smith threatened Emma with God's destruction if she did not abide in this new and everlasting covenant called plural marriage, What a lie. And if you're in a polygamy group, God wants you to know that your salvation does not depend upon your polygamy. Jesus Christ is the Savior, not polygamy. And you need to check these things out for yourself completely and thoroughly. And I ask you, for those who know they should or have the opportunity and don't or won't check them out, why won't you? You have nothing to lose by checking them out. I want to give you some websites to check on this information that I've just given you. And again, if you will email me, tv@aboutpolygamy.com, I will email back all of the websites that I've used to gather information for tonight. One of them is utahgothic.com. Another one is ruralwomen.net. Another one is rickross.com and polygamybooks.org. So email me for the information on these websites. Now, we're hearing a lot about decriminalization of polygamy these days. In fact, that's the court case that the Cody Brown family has filed in the federal court here in Utah a month or so ago. Decriminalization would be a huge mistake. They say that polygamous families should be able to live their belief without fear of arrest and prosecution because of their faith. They say decriminalization will give more freedom and less fear for abused members to come forward. That's another lie. Their abused wives and children will never feel safe coming forward. If polygamy is decriminalized, will they stop teaching that God requires polygamy for salvation? No, that's part of their doctrine. Are they going to stop teaching the kids from the cradle that they cannot reveal the secrets of their group? No. Secrecy will always be part of their doctrine. We are aware now of the sexual rape of these children. But what about the emotionally raped child? We rarely see or hear that problem being addressed. They grow up in seclusion in a group of people who systematically steal their childhood from them, who brainwash them from the government, about the government. They brainwash them about God. They brainwash them about society in general. Decriminalization will not stop the abuser. It will only give them more freedom to do what they do best, and that is to target and exert control over people more weak than they themselves are. Decriminalization is a smokescreen. Polygamous families are not currently being threatened for their lifestyle. Our Attorney General has publicly said several times that he would not go after polygamists, but only after the abuses in polygamy. When was the last time you saw a polygamous family taken to court in Utah because of polygamy? Tom Green was taken to court a few years back, but why? Well, because he was traveling the country getting on television shows bragging about his polygamous marriages, effectively wiping the collective faces of Utahns in their own ineffective laws. Tom Green was officially charged with 4 counts of bigamy, 1 count of criminal non-support, and 1 charge of child rape because of his polygamous marriage to a 13-year-old girl. The law is not, and for decades have not, actively sought out polygamous for prosecution. And that in itself is a disgrace when we consider that polygamy is forever forbidden in the Utah State Constitution. It's a felony, but it is not and has not been targeted for prosecution. Frankly, polygamists are asking for the best of both worlds. By decriminalizing polygamy, they get to have as many wives and as big a families as they want with no requirements to be responsible in any way. There will be no legal requirements placed upon their choices, but bankruptcies will continue, welfare, fraud, food stamps, bleeding the beast. They won't be held accountable for any of these because it's decriminalized. The rest of society is. But they won't be. So in essence, a double standard would result. One standard for society, those who are obeying the law, and the other lower, irresponsible standard for polygamists. Now, I do hope that our citizens and our courts are smarter than to allow this inequity. But then, polygamy has always been, and it is, and will always be about inequity. But again, our purpose is not to actively seek arrests of polygamists and throw them all in jail. Our purpose is to educate polygamists, especially the women and the youth, so that they will know that God doesn't want polygamy. He doesn't want it. God doesn't require polygamy. God has never commanded polygamy. He doesn't condone polygamy. And polygamy has nothing at all to do with God's plan of salvation. Eternal glory comes from Jesus Christ alone. Polygamy makes his salvation plan painfully ugly instead of beautiful in all of its simplistic glory. I've got some more stuff to talk about, but if you want to start calling in, you're certainly welcome to do so. If you don't mind hanging on the phone for a few more minutes after you call in, our number is 801-973-TV20. I want to talk about an email that we received, and I'm going to call her the writer of the email, Miss A. Miss A said, as a young mainstream LDS girl, I was taught in LDS Sunday school in 1968 and 69 that although the LDS church no longer practices polygamy, we all would be able to practice polygamy in the celestial kingdom. I was taught that the celestial was almost as good, but not quite perfection, so polygamy would only be in the celestial kingdom. I remember these concepts were taught to my class on several occasions. My daughter had a mainstream LDS girlfriend, they were both about 16 years old, who came to our house very distressed one Sunday. She had been in a yearly interview with her bishop. He asked if she had any questions. She said, yes, I'm wondering why a man can be sealed to as many wives as he wants in the temple, but a woman can only be sealed to one man. He replied, young lady, you need to spend more time studying your scriptures and praying. This was the end of her interview, and she was very distressed. She meant no disrespect. She actually wanted to know the answer. She asked me because she knew I had been LDS, so we discussed some of their propaganda. I pray every day for the Mormons to realize all the lies and be free from all the guilt they have been forced to believe. God bless you and your efforts in this. I know each week there are viewers who start thinking maybe the Mormons are wrong. And indeed, there are viewers every week that ask that question and come to that conclusion, by the way. We want to thank Miss A for her comments. Indeed, the mainline church alienates itself from anything polygamy, but many, many of our LDS viewers were taught that polygamy was a celestial practice and that they would be required to live polygamy in the highest celestial kingdom. But we do urge all of our viewers to find out what your religion believes and what it taught. You need to know the foundational teachings of your church, because even if you don't know it, your foundational teachings is what you believe. It is your religion. Sadly, it started with Joseph Smith instead of Jesus Christ. Despite the mainstream church alienating itself from all things polygamy, spiritual polygamy remains part of LDS doctrine. I gathered the following information from the website utlm.org, an excellent website for you to go to if you want to start doing your own research. It has all of the footnotes and the proof of their resources. But I want to discuss some of the things there about the subject of spiritual polygamy and its previous and current practice by Mormon leadership. The LDS church leaders allow a living man to be sealed to another woman after the death of his wife or after divorce. Obviously, this will necessitate, it will necessitate polygamy in heaven. In 1897, LDS Apostle Charles W. Penrose said, and I quote, "In the case of a man marrying a wife in the everlasting covenant who dies while he continues in the flesh and marries another by the same divine law, each wife will come forth in her order and enter with him into his glory." Now that whole thing is nonsense. In fact, the people had taken the same question to Jesus about a woman who had been married to seven different brothers, whose wife would... And Jesus said, you guys are in error. There's no marriages in heaven. So are we going to believe Jesus or not? And also, Mr. Penrose says that this man is going to have his wives with him when he enters into his glory. 1 Corinthians 1:29 says, no flesh will glory in God's presence. So that's wrong as well. In October of 2007, at the funeral for the second wife of Howard W. Hunter, the 14th president of the LDS Church, an article in the Deseret News said that Gordon Hinckley affirmed the eternal nature of the marriage between Howard Hunter and his second wife, as well as Howard Hunter and his first wife. Hinckley said they were sealed for time and all eternity. Hinckley confirmed there that Hunter has two wives in heaven. Well, he really doesn't, but they think he does. And this was 2007, only 4 years ago. Another example of plural sealings is Apostle Russell M. Nelson's marriage in 2006. This would mean, according to LDS doctrine, that Nelson has two wives sealed to him for eternity. Joseph Fielding Smith, 10th president, remarried twice after the death of his first wife. And in his books, Doctrine of Salvation, volume 2, page 67, he remarked, my wives will be with me in eternity. Harold B. Lee, the 11th president, also remarried after his wife's death and was sealed to another woman, was looking forward to a polygamous relationship in heaven. In fact, he wrote a poem where he reflected that his second wife, Joan, would join his first wife, Fern, as his eternal wives. And this is his poem. Quote, my lovely wife, Joan, was sent to me. So Joan joins Fern, that three might be more fitted for eternity. Oh, Heavenly Father, my thanks to thee. Once again, God is brought into that ungodly doctrine. After being widowed, Apostle Dallin Oaks remarried in the temple and believes he will be married eternally to both women. And in 2002, he commented on his second sealing. When I was 66, my wife died of cancer. 2 years later, I married the eternal companion who now stands at my side, hereby stating that his second marriage sealing was for eternity. The official LDS Church Handbook of Instruction says a living woman may be sealed to only one husband, but if a husband dies and a wife has been sealed, if the husband and wife have been sealed and the wife dies, the man may have another woman sealed to him. This is in the 2010 Church Handbook of Instruction, page 20. That's just last year. Did you know that the first seven presidents of the LDS Church were polygamous? The first one, of course, was Joseph Smith. He had at least 33 wives besides Emma. Second was Brigham Young, over 50 wives and 56 children. Third, John Taylor, at least 14 wives, approximately 36 children. Wilford Woodruff, at least 10 wives, approximately 34 children. Lorenzo Snow, at least 9 wives, 33 children. Joseph F. Smith, 6 wives, 43 children. Heber J. Grant, president from 1918 to 1945. And don't forget the manifesto was in 1890. He had 3 wives and 12 children. According to LDS doctrine, these men will have all of their faithful wives and children with them in the resurrection, which means they will be living polygamy in the celestial kingdom. Isn't it hypocritical for the Mormon Church to criticize and alienate themselves from Mormon fundamentalists? Why are they so silent about their own temporal and eternal spiritual doctrine of polygamy? We're going to open up the telephone lines now. Our number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. Turn your television volume down when we answer the phone on the air. And remember, a two-way dialogue is required or else we will disconnect you. And as we wait for the calls to start coming in, we have a message we'd like to share with you.
You are watching Polygamy, What Love Is This? Broadcasting live from Salt Lake City, Utah. This program is the broadcast outreach of a Shield and Refuge ministry. Shield and Refuge is a point of first contact for Mormon fundamentalists who question the doctrines of the religion or who are actively seeking for an opportunity to escape the polygamist lifestyle. Examining the claims of fundamentalist doctrine against the backdrop of biblical truth is central to our efforts. We invite you to contact us. Call toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. You are welcome to join us in our monthly support group, Life After Polygamy, where you can meet others like yourself who are searching for answers about polygamy and Mormon fundamentalism. We meet monthly in the Salt Lake City area. For more details about time and place, call us toll-free at 877-425-9993 or email us at tv@aboutpolygamy.com. We want you to know that we've made available to you some outstanding resources free of charge. You will find them at our website, www.whatloveisthis.tv. There you will find the DVD, Lifting the Veil of Polygamy, which documents the real-life stories told firsthand of those who were lifted out of the culture of polygamy through the power and love of Jesus Christ. Also, free of charge to you is the booklet, Is Polygamy Biblical? It explores plural marriage in the context of God's Word and answers questions like, did God ever command polygamy? Is it part of God's plan? While you are at our website, make sure to take advantage of the archived episodes of this program, which can stream on demand directly to your computer. There are more than 100 shows to choose from. And if someone you know is unable to view this program via live broadcast, recommend that they visit this same website every Thursday at 8 p.m. Mountain Time to watch this show through live streaming video. Simply follow the links to the live streaming video page. If you are watching live tonight, we invite you to call us as we open our phone lines. The number is 801-973-TV20. That's 801-973-8820. Now, back to Polygamy, What Love Is This? With our host, Doris Hansen.
Welcome back to the show. We want to thank you for watching our show tonight, Polygamy, What Love Is This? And we are talking about the inequities and the hypocrisies of people complaining about polygamy when they themselves are doing the same things in their own groups. We have an off-the-air question, or actually it's a statement from a nurse. It says, a nurse has seen abuse by polygamists and she supports your stand. And I want to thank you for that, because the groups do deny that there is as much abuse going on as there is. There is a lot of abuse going on in these groups. And there are some very great people in polygamy groups too. I still have family in a polygamy group, and they're wonderful people. It's the few, but there is a lot in these closed societies when there is no way to be tracking them down, and they have a great fear of telling the authorities about it. Okay, we have a couple of calls here. We have Kenneth calling from Cedar City. Hello, Kenneth.
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air. You're on the air. What's your question?
I was wondering where all of these... I was wondering where all of these wives come from. How, if you have...
Go ahead. Did you turn your volume down on your television? Hello?
Okay. If you've got 10 people who have 5 wives each, that's 50 boys in the polygamous group who are not going to be able to get a wife.
10 people with 5 wives each? Well, yeah, that'd be 45 or 40. Anyway, that's right. You know, and I've said this on the show many, many times, mathematics and polygamy just do not get along, because the birth rate is almost 50-50 ratio for males and females. That's what the Lost Boys fiasco was in the FLDS in the early 2000, when they just got rid of hundreds and hundreds of young boys out of their community. And they're still doing it, only not as blatantly as they did before. But you're right. The older men get all the wives, and the younger boys, they don't get them.
The boys stay in the community if they can't have a wife?
Some of them do, yes. Yeah. Some of them are kind of eased out of the community, but some of them will stay in and just be a worker drone, and because they teach them that the only way to get to heaven is to be in this group and live this lifestyle, and so they'll stay in it and go ahead and work because they believe their leaders won't lead them astray.
Pretty gullible students, aren't they?
Well, they're brainwashed from the cradle. They don't know any different. You know, when you're raised in a community where you don't have contact or very little contact with the outside world, and sometimes no contact, what else do you know? And that's what we want to do. We want them to know. We want to educate them to know that the outside world isn't what they've been taught it is, and that God doesn't require what they've been taught He requires.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Good night. Okay, we have Linda calling from Roy. Hello, Linda. Linda? Hello? Is Linda there? One last chance. I guess she isn't there. Sounds like maybe she hung up. I have a couple of questions I'd like to pose to our viewers. One of them is, why does the Mormon faith say that true Christianity and the Christian doctrine was lost soon after Jesus and the disciples died, and that Christianity today isn't what God originally wanted it to be and isn't what it originally was? While at the same time, Mormonism is guilty of changing their doctrine so that they don't believe in the same things that early Mormons believed and taught. In fact, they've made over 4,000 changes alone in the Book of Mormon alone. So why are they accusing Christianity of doing exactly what they themselves have done? And I also have a second question, if someone would like to call in and give their perspective. How can God, both in the Bible and the Book of Mormon, condemn polygamy and then still claim that God commands polygamy? Let's have some good responses to these questions if you'd like to call in and answer them. I also have an email that I would like to share with our viewers, and it's from Barb. She says, I enjoy your weekly TV program. Do you know what Joseph Smith did for a living? Did he train in any trade? Did he have any work skills? Or did he convert people to Mormonism and convince them to pay tithing to him as his means of support? I thought that was a good question, so I started doing a little snooping around. In my research, I found that as a boy, Joseph Smith worked on his father's farm. He hunted and he fished, and he took odd jobs. In fact, one of the odd jobs he took, oddly enough, was in public events where he sold cake and beer. As he grew older, he grew up treasure-seeking. He was associated with Josiah Stoll and with Joseph Knight Sr. in the practice of divination. And that practice, by the way, is condemned in the Bible. He did this by looking into stone and crystal. At one point, he took a well-digging job to earn money to buy a chest that would lock so that he could store the golden plates in it. And he was penniless when he wanted to publish the Book of Mormon, so he enlisted Martin Harris to invest in the project. Obviously, Joseph Smith wasn't earning much of an income during his early years. The money that Martin Harris gave him not only paid for the Book of Mormon to be published, but it also paid off Joseph Smith's debts, which he was in debt, and he allowed him enough extra money left over so he could move to Harmony, Pennsylvania. So it appears that Joseph Smith did depend upon others for his personal support and living expenses. I cannot find evidence that he worked in any regular employment. Now, if any of our viewers has more information that they can validate, we would love to hear from you. Okay, it looks like we have Linda calling from Roy. Hello, Linda. Linda?
This is Keziah.
This is Keziah? Well, it's good to hear from you. I don't know what's gone on here, but your name's not on the screen. Keziah, how are you?
Yeah. Hey, Doris.
Yes. Hello?
Doing good. I sure appreciate you.
Well, thank you. Keziah is going to be on our show October, what's the date? Mid to late October, Keziah is going to be on our show. She's got a heck of a story to tell, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show, Keziah. Hello.
Well, thank you. I'm revving up for it.
Well, I'm sure it's going to be a treat for all of us. We're looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for calling. Okay.
Here's the only comment that I want to say.
Okay.
You know, when I gave up Mormonism along with polygamy, this friend of mine says, well, Keziah, just because you give up polygamy, that doesn't mean you're supposed to give up Mormonism. He says, well, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And I said to him this, you know, this was my attorney. So his name was Don Redd, and I said, Don, I said, any religion that creates that many liars and thieves and sons of guns, then you've got to look at the religion, because something's wrong with it. Because when you have people studying Christianity and giving their life to Christ, they don't treat people the way that these guys do. You know, and so, because, look, with this Project Compassion, hey, I've been a guest on so many people's organizations and met so many people all over America. And actually, most of the people that invite me are Christians, and they are incredible people.
Yes.
You know, and I just say, now see, that is the effect of Christianity, just followers of Christ,
right,
has upon somebody.
Right.
And how beautiful is that?
And it is, and we're following Jesus, not a man. We don't have to follow a man in any way, shape, or form. It's Jesus Christ alone. Did I lose you?
No, I was just listening to you.
What if we have a delay here or something? Well, you know, because I, you're so right. I do appreciate your comments. We don't follow the Mormon religion because it started by a man.
Well, I know. Anyway, darling, I love you. You're doing great things, and so is that Sean McCraney. In fact, that last show that he had last Tuesday,
that was good.
It's up online now. Mm-hmm. And the guy that was a Mormon that was telling about how he was confronted with having to, research into the truth and dare to ask himself.
Right. He had...
He had the courage
and the integrity to search it out.
So he had to search all this stuff, the DNA, and man, what he found, that's a fabulous show.
It is.
I'm encouraging people to go to Sean McCraney's and go on the last Tuesdays. Because that's just a dynamite thing.
Cause it was
great. Most people probably already, if they're watching your show, they've probably seen it. But man, it's so good. And I love you guys. See, this is what all of us have the obligation to do, is exactly what you're doing, because once we find out the truth, we've just got to help our friends.
We've got to talk
about
it.
Wake up and stop being deceived. Joseph Smith was a dang liar. And you know what, darling, that's what, when I get on your show, that's what I want to talk to you about, is just, same thing you're doing.
Okay.
Love you, and that's about all I have to say.
Okay, thanks for calling, Keziah. See you later.
Okay, sweetie. Take care.
Mm-hmm, bye.
Bye.
Okay, line one. Let's see if we got Linda. Hello, Linda. Hello, Linda. Let's try line two. Fran? Hello, Fran.
Yes,
you're on the air.
Oh, yes, Doris, I would like to ask you a question.
Sure.
I just don't understand why the state of Utah allows this to still continue, knowing that it's a felony, and yet people like us that are decent, we commit a crime. Well, I haven't committed a crime, but people that do, and they get sent to prison for years and years just for simple, things that they do, and they can do all of this, cheat the system, and get away with it. Is there anything we can do as citizens to have something done about this?
Well, I think as citizens, the importance is in numbers. If enough people would come forward and maybe write to letters to the editors, write to the Attorney General, write to the governor, write to your congressman, and there would have to be, you know, the numbers where we just get up like the Tea Party and say, you know, this is the Pea Party, I guess, and just to say, no, we don't want this anymore. We don't want this to take place, and enforce the law. Again, we can't throw tens of thousands of polygamists in jail, and that's not what we're asking for. We would just like an opportunity to educate them that they don't have to do this.
But I think they are educated. I mean,
some of them aren't.
A lot of them are, but
most of them aren't, though. In all honesty,
I think the women aren't because they keep them so below. I think the men are pretty educated.
Well, no, there's a lot of men in polygamy groups that are also victims. You know, if they were born and raised in it, they also were brainwashed and taught this is the way God wants it to be, and they grow up under the same doctrine, and they don't know any better either unless they get out and check it out.
Well, that might be true, yeah. Because I've even been thinking of maybe even writing the president.
Write to whoever you can and get some people to get petitions going. I mean, if the citizens would do something, something might get done.
Okay, well, keep up the good work, Doris. And I enjoy listening to you every Thursday, and I also enjoy listening to Sean. I just started, but I've learned a lot from both of you.
Well, thanks for watching. We appreciate your phone call.
Okay, thank you. Good night.
Good night. Okay, we have Stacy from Roy. Hello, Stacy.
Yeah.
Yes, you're on the air.
Okay, I just had a question.
Uh-huh.
I heard a few minutes ago you were talking about Joseph Smith and his work history and financial status. I was just wondering, what does that have to do with anything?
Well, I was answering an email. Somebody had emailed me and asked me, and she was a viewer, and she wanted to know, and I told her I would find out, and I did.
So if he didn't have a steady job or steady income, that means he's not a credible person?
Well, it just adds up, you know, all of the things that we learn about him and his early history, it all adds up to give us kind of like a resume of what kind of a person he was, what his character was like, what kind of a person
he was. Do you want to tell us your work history and financial status then so we can know what kind of a person you are?
Well, you know what? I am not coming out and saying that God told me to start a new religion and that all the other religions on the planet was wrong and that Lucifer and Satan are brothers and that there's multiple gods and that it takes a certain kind of work to do salvation and that you need to follow me to get to heaven. I'm not doing that.
You are on television expecting lots of people to believe what you're saying.
I'm expecting people to check out what I'm saying, not believe me. For heaven's sakes, check out everything I say. Check out what your prophet says. Check out what your leader says. Check out what Joseph Smith says.
How do you know what religion I follow?
I'm not saying anything about you. I'm talking about the people that are watching. I'm telling them to check out what you believe. That's all you've heard me say tonight. And yeah, everything that I've mentioned tonight, I have checked out. I have given information. I have given references.
Also, another comment. I just had a comment you made. I had a question on was, you said follow Jesus Christ, not a man.
Right.
But don't you believe in the prophets in the Bible? The prophets.
I'm not following the prophets. I'm not following the prophets. I'm following Jesus. Jeremiah was a prophet of God, but I'm not following him. I don't believe in them. I believe that the Word of God is the Bible and that they wrote down what God told them to write, but I don't believe in the prophets. No, I believe in Jesus. I have another call.
So you don't believe the Bible then?
Of course I do. I didn't say that. Don't twist my words.
Well, I know, but you're twisting your own words.
No.
Bible,
no, you asked me. You asked me.
Christ. You so asked me to believe in the Bible without believing in the prophets.
You know what? We're getting it to the end of the show. I've got one more caller. I'm going to answer that call. If you want to talk to me, you can email me tv@aboutpolygamy.com. I'd be happy to discuss this. Okay, very quickly, line 3, Tyson and Sandy. Hello, Tyson.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Can you do this quickly?
Yeah, terrific. You know, I'm an LDS guy, but I've actually been having a lot of challenges with the doctrine as well as, like, the history of the church.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you had any knowledge and could maybe shed some light for me on those spiritual wives that Joseph Smith was taking, you know, which is basically a polygamy of women that are already married to other men.
Yes,
and that has really been messing with my head.
He had 34, at least 34 wives. 11 of them were women who were already married and living with living husbands.
Okay.
And they weren't just spiritual. Although there were hundreds of women that got sealed to him after he died, I think he's got 200 or 300 women that were sealed to him.
The biggest thing I have an issue with is, you know, because I'm trying to understand things. I'm looking at it going, if he came to me and said he wanted to be married to my wife, also I'm going to be really pissed. I'm going to go from, hey, I'm feeling like this is pretty good, to the point I'm like really, really upset.
Yeah, but they say everything the prophet did was right, and I've got to hang up now because we're going to be on the show. But thanks for your call.
Okay. All right. Uh-huh. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Good night. And thanks everybody for your phone calls. My closing comments is around Acts 15 verse 11, where it says, "We believe it is through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ that we're saved. And if you believe in anything else for eternal life, you're going to miss grace and you'll miss heaven." Now, many people say that's too simple. That's too easy. Yes. It took man's to complicate with his false doctrine what God made so simple. In fact, God has made it so simple that no one will have any excuse for not doing it. All of us are in the same condition. We are sinners before God, and he doesn't see the difference in quantity or in greater or lesser sins. He sees us as sinners, period. He doesn't see us as Mormon or non-Mormon sinners or polygamous sinners. He sees us all equally as sinners, and we all equally need his salvation, and it is equally given to all exactly the same way. Eternal life is not in any church or group, but in Jesus Christ alone without church. God is not confined to being a group God. He's a personal God. He's a personal Savior. And we come to him based on and only on Jesus Christ and his righteousness, not on any merit of our own. It's impossible to attain personal righteousness. And so we must be righteous to go to heaven. So God's plan is for us to be given the righteousness of Jesus Christ in exchange for him taking away all of our sins. If we trust in him alone for the full and final and complete salvation of our souls. But if we try to attain righteousness, we're practicing self-righteousness, and Jesus will reject it. So throw in the towel, stop trying, because trying results in self-righteousness, and just trust that Jesus has already done for you all that you need to do. He'll save you if you'll just reach out to him in childlike faith and trust, and based on his merits, not yours. How great of a salvation is that? Good night.
This has been the audio podcast edition of Polygamy, What Love Is This? This program is a production of A Shield and Refuge Ministry and Main Street Church of Brigham City. You can view current and past video episodes as well as download audio episodes of this program at whatloveisthis.tv. If you or someone you know is in need of assistance in leaving a polygamous situation, please contact us. We are here to help. All of our contact information can be found at shieldandrefuge.org or call us at 877-425-9993. If you have any questions or comments about this or any of our other programs, we'd love to hear from you. Write us at email@whatloveisthis.tv. Thanks for listening, and we hope you'll join us again.